And welcome to Mercenary Musings Radio, an exclusive audio service presenting views and insight from the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulp. Mickey, we're talking poor man's gold, silver for today's show.
That we are, Rob, and silver's always an interesting subject because it's a bit of a hybrid. It's part industrial metal and part precious metal.
And last time out, I said that silver had been outperforming gold. You corrected me. Gold, in fact, year-to-date is showing a stronger gain than silver. Last year, though, boy, oh boy, a much different story. While gold was grabbing all the headlines in its record run higher, silver was beating the pants off bullion in terms of a percentage rise. 49% jump in silver last year versus 24% for gold. How do you see it playing out this year, Mickey?
Well, it's right now I pay a lot of attention, Rob, to the gold-silver ratio. And what happened during the global financial crisis, especially in October of 2008, the silver to gold ratio, or pardon me, the gold to silver ratio in terms of price hit a high of 84. So what we find is silver is more volatile, both on the upside and downside. In times of financial duress, gold will go up much faster than silver does, and that's what happened in late 2008. So in my opinion, the reason that silver vastly outperformed gold in 2009 was basically because it had gotten beaten down so badly during the financial crisis.
Okay, what is the silver to gold ratio? What is that ratio today, and what does it tell you about how things may perform going forward?
Well, it's around 70-1 right now, and it's come up considerably during the market correction. Once again, we found that gold corrected, as we talked about and as was predicted, but silver corrected much more drastically. So the gold to silver ratio over the last, say, when the correction came in mid-December, the ratio was 60-1. Now it's about 70-1. So what that tells me is the world is still nervous. In times of a boisterous economy, silver will generally outperform gold and vice versa. So when we see a rising gold to silver ratio, as we have over the last 6 weeks or so, that indicates nervous markets, and for me, that becomes a buying opportunity in silver. I will tell you that when the gold-silver ratio hit 83-84 in October-November of 2008, I became a buyer of silver. In fact, I bought contracts on the COMEX and took physical delivery of large silver bars at that time, 1,000-ounce silver bars. So right now I'm personally not quite ready to buy silver, but when it's at this range, people that don't have enough silver in their portfolio, this is a good buying opportunity for silver.
Okay, well, let's talk about what is moving the price of silver. And silver, when you compare it to gold, Mickey, it has a much broader industrial application, doesn't it? You know, it is used in industries, it's used in a lot more products than gold.
Well, it most definitely is. You know, I think something on the order of 11% of the gold market is industrial demand. And I can give you a couple of numbers. Industrial uses of silver, 50% of the silver used on a yearly basis is used in electronics. Another 12% still used in photography. Interesting enough, that's down from about 31% in 1998. And, of course, that's because of digital photos. Some other uses in catalysts, use in medicine and antimicrobial applications, mirrors, solder. It's the best electrical and thermal conductor of all the metals. So very much dominated by industrial uses. By the same token, in some ways it is money. It was the first money that was coined, and it still has precious metal capabilities and ability to be used as money. And there's very few pure silver mines in the world. About two-thirds of the world production is byproducts of lead, zinc, copper, and gold mining. And this is especially important in the lead zinc industry. A lot of silver comes from lead zinc mines. So what you find, and this goes back to industrial uses, when the world's economy is humming along, there's demand for lead and zinc, and so there's more silver produced. When you look at silver companies to invest in, you're probably really buying lead zinc companies, and you should pay attention to industrial demand at that point.
Is the demand for silver in the current economic climate picking up, or is it still waffling a bit because of the economic recovery perhaps is not on the most solid of ground?
Well, I think with most metals right now, it's still waffling a bit, and the demand, the production was up last year, and worldwide demand was actually up in 2009, mm-hmm. Over 2008, but not by a whole lot. So I think worldwide demand last year was something on the order of 21,400 tons, and that's up maybe 100 tons from 2008.
Okay, tell me about the volatility of the silver market, because it's not a big market by any stretch of the imagination, is it?
No, it really isn't. It's compared to gold, it's not, especially in monetary terms, not a particularly big market. For instance, I can tell you the largest gold ETF is something on the order of 8 times larger than the largest silver ETF. Mm-hmm. So the silver market is not big. The amount of silver hoarded is not big. Most of silver is used and maybe recycled, but certainly it's not hoarded the way that gold is.
And right now, Mickey, would you suggest that perhaps you get a better bang for your buck with silver than gold?
Well, at 70 to 1, I would say that. Personally, you know, I got spoiled last year because I bought at very high ratios, and I haven't delved back into the silver market right now. But for someone that doesn't own silver, yes, this is a good time, because I personally don't think, you know, the ratio might go even higher right now, but 70 to 1 is still a pretty good ratio for a time to buy silver. If you want, Rob, I can go into some of the ways to buy silver.
Sure, yeah. You mentioned the ETF. I think that's fairly straightforward, but there are other opportunities for investors, so let's hear them.
Okay. Well, first, I'm a firm believer in owning physical bullion. So the paper ETFs do not attract me personally. Now, everybody's got to do their own due diligence and make their own investment decisions. But I buy physical silver. You know, we've alluded to the fact that the main reason to own silver is much like the reason to own gold. In some ways, it's a safe haven. It's, to a lesser extent, silver is money. Mm-hmm. We know for certain that the Lydians in 700 BC coined silver. The Romans did. The British did. Probably not everybody knows that in 1158, King Henry II coined sterling silver, which was 92.5% silver, 7.5% copper, and there was 240 pence to the pound. In fact, a pound sterling refers to the fact that that was 1 pound, weighed 1 pound of sterling silver. Today there are several ways to buy silver. You can buy silver bars in denominations anywhere from 1 ounce to what I've already told you. You can buy 1,000-ounce bars, minimum five contracts on the COMEX. And you want to buy, if you're buying silver bars, you want to buy them from a refiner where there's a number and a fineness stamped on them.
Right.
Silver coins, you can buy silver eagles. I think the Canadians, you can probably let me know on this exactly, also mint a silver coin.
Mm-hmm.
And those are going to be somewhere between 0.990 and 0.9999 fine. And then one of my favorite ways to buy silver, and you can do this in the United States certainly, and that's junk silver. And those are bags of coins with a $1,000 face value. Pre-1965, those were 90% silver, and you could buy dimes, quarters, or half dollars, mercury dimes. So mm-hmm. you buy a 1,000-ounce bag, and interestingly enough, they come in bullion bags, canvas bags, and they have a stamp on them. And one of the bags I own is from the New York City Department of Transportation in 1964, and it's ten thousand Mercury dimes.
But what are you going to do with all those dimes?
Do you
literally have 10,000 dimes? Is that correct?
I have actually more than one bag of silver. So, but yeah, they come in. They weigh about somewhere 55 pounds or something like that in a bag. So, much like gold, you put them someplace safe and tell only one other person in the world where they are.
Okay, let's wrap it up on that note. You're on the road for part of next week, Mickey, and then the week after that, we will connect in Toronto. We'll have a face-to-face conversation because we're going to catch up at the Prospectors and Developers Association convention. If listeners are not familiar with the PDAC convention, it is really, I guess you could say, the grand poobah of mining conventions. We have big companies from all over the world, smaller companies, mining representatives from the various mining ministries of almost every government and every major mining region here. It's quite a show, isn't it?
Well, it is. It is, as you said, the grand poobah of all exploration mining shows. Been going on for, I think, well over 100 years now. And there's going to be well over 20,000 exploration and mining professionals there. I'm going to throw in a little plug. On Sunday morning, I will be presenting at the Investors Forum, which is an all-day affair of newsletter writers and speakers and website guys, and we're going to talk about various aspects of investing in junior resource stocks, and I'm going to present another chapter of my book, my pending book, 9:30 Sunday, March the 7th.
Okay, good stuff, Mickey. We'll see you in early March in Toronto. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Robin. I look forward to seeing you once again.
Okay, that's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.